This is the Mason Vera Payne Show, your go-to lifestyle program, covering everything from technology and gaming to movies, TV shows, and pop culture to the supernatural and beyond. Brought to you from Chicago, USA, with your host, the unabridged millennial, Mason Vera Payne.
Mason Payne here, live from the NVP studios in Chicago, and thank you for tuning in. Google Trends expert Justin Burr is going to join me to break down the top five search trends on Google this week and the most watched YouTube video of this week. Thanks for joining me, Justin.
Hey, always great to be with you. Long time no talk. Ready to be back in the saddle.
So for this week, what was number five?
Number five, we've got the Emmy nominations hot off the press. The 70th Primetime Emmy Awards are airing on September 17th, and we've got the nominees. Some pretty interesting trends around that because, not necessarily trends, but just statistics. The last time that anybody not named Julia Louis-Dreyfus won Best Actress in a Comedy, it was 2011. Like, she's won it every single year. I didn't even really realize that. Maybe I'm, like, not tapped into the Emmy scene, but that seems completely phenomenal. But her final season of Veep was actually delayed this year because she's undergoing cancer treatment, so she's not up for the award. So that there is going to be a new Best Actress in a Comedy awarded in that. So that's wild. And then also, it's Handmaid's Tale versus Game of Thrones. Last year, Handmaid's Tale was the first drama from a streaming service to take home Best Drama, and that's because Game of Thrones was actually not nominated last year because of the way that the season shook out. But now, even though Game of Thrones debuted almost a year ago, they're still up for the category. So it's going to be Handmaids versus Game of Thrones, and people are stoked on that.
Did you hear that Roseanne got a couple of nominations? But not Roseanne Barr, the person, right? It was just like a couple of other people. Like, do you know who they are?
You know, that's a good question. I actually did not hear that in my, I guess, not so thorough research of this category. But that's interesting. Some sort of like posthumous winning of a show that was canceled. That's high drama.
Yeah, I mean, it did really well. It was just that Roseanne Barr is a bit of a jerk.
Yeah.
You know, other things I can't
Definitely.
Say, but you know, it is what it is. But I think her sister Jackie, I forgot the actress's name. Don't hurt me. But I think she was nominated for something.
I think that's good.
Yeah, right?
Yeah,
like, good
I mean,
for her.
Don't punish the whole crowd for, you know, the ill-advised thoughts of just one individual. So, yeah, I'm on board with that. Why not?
Yeah, me too. So for this week, what was number four?
So number four, we've got the Mega Millions jackpot lotto. So it's up to $340 million right now because nobody won this past Tuesday. So everybody's getting stoked up. They're trying to figure out where they can buy their tickets and turning to Google to figure out what their odds are. Your odds are bad. I'll break it to you right now. You've got about a 1 in 300 million chance of winning the jackpot prize, which, you know, somebody's got to win. Each ticket costs $2. But the good news is that if you just purchase one ticket for $2, you actually have a 1 in 37 chance of winning your money back and just winning $2. So that's pretty sweet. But if you do win and you take that cash option, that full lump sum, you can get like $204 million, which is totally outrageous. But if you live in Nevada, Utah, Alaska, Hawaii, Mississippi, or Alabama, you can't play because those cities don't have Mega Millions, unfortunately.
You know, a long time ago, my aunt gave us advice on how to win the lotto because she won it like four times. So, right?
Well, how much money did she... Like a lot of money each time?
Oh, yeah. Each time was a lot of money. She's like, okay, she had enough to move to Mexico and buy her, like, own land and make, like, I think she sells sugarcane with her husband. Yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah.
She got a lot of money.
What are the secrets?
Okay, so here's the first secret. When it's the Mega Millions like this, don't get a Mega Million ticket. Go for, in Chicago, it's the Lucky Day Lotto, which is the lowest one possible because nobody is playing it. So your chances of winning go up.
Genius. Okay. Totally on board.
And you always get the, what is it? The quick pick. So if you put your own numbers down, the chances of those coming up are very slim. So she's like, always do quick pick. Just spend your money on quick pick. Okay. When it's Mega Millions like this, you get the little ones and boom, you win. I was like, oh. So I do that every time now. So I hope I win.
Okay. Wow, that is genius. Now I'm going to go buy some lotto tickets after work today because it is Friday the 13th. So we'll talk about that later. But, you know, it's nice and lucky or unlucky or something. I don't know.
What was number three?
Number three, we've got some good old fun food trends, more made-up food holidays. So today is National Fry Day. Get it? Because it's also Friday, but it's also Fun Friday. So people are stoked on that. Ayo. Yeah. And people are turning to Google to figure out what the best fries are. So search interest is any indication. McDonald's takes the top spot because they had the most search interest of fries. I disagree. I think that one of the fries didn't make the list. In-N-Out. I think In-N-Out is definitively the best fry. You see the employees in the back literally cutting the potato with this machine, which is phenomenal. Fries, I guarantee you the fries from McDonald's are just frozen and they open up a big bag. Actually, I've seen them open up that bag and pour it in the fryer, so it's not even fresh at all. Ridiculous. So I'm an In-N-Out type of guy. But then also we've got, for the people that like, you know, dip their French fries in ice cream or like the Frosties or whatever the things are of sorts, then that's good news because Sunday is National Ice Cream Day. Get it? Because it's like a Sunday, and that's coming up on this Sunday. So you've got two excuses to, you know, eat a lot of fries and eat a lot of ice cream this weekend.
I think these were invented just for the puns. That's just me.
I think that the people there was definitely some sort of a meeting where they're like, all right, guys, let's do these holidays, but what days can we put them on? And then some genius was like, I know, I have the answer. So, yeah, it's pretty good. Oh, also, July 2018, actually, we've seen the highest recorded search interest ever for ice cream in the United States. Normally, it kind of peaks every summer, obviously, because that's when people are eating ice cream the most. But this year, since we've started looking at search trends since 2004, the highest ever has been this month in this year. So we're living in a pretty exciting time.
Justin, I have to know. Inquiring minds must know. What's your favorite ice cream?
Oh, that's a good cue. I am a cookies and cream kind of guy, but I don't like it when the cookies that are in the cream are too crunchy. I like them to be like very soft and very much a part of the ice cream and not just a topping that was inserted last minute. I want it to really feel in there and saturated, one with the ice cream. But yeah, that's my go-to.
Oh my God, that's very specific. It has to be a very specific brand, I imagine.
Yeah, I think Dreyer's, or maybe Breyer's. I don't know. They're too similar of names. One of those Dreyer's is my go-to. We'll say I'm more of a kind of a Froyo kind of guy.
A Froyo? Oh, no. No, that's a faux pas there. No. Froyo is not real.
Right.
No, I'm sorry. You have to go.
Okay.
This sounds like a debate you've had with a lot of people and you've just given up.
Yeah, I'm going to get upset. We'll just move on.
What was number two?
Okay, number two, we've got Friday the 13th. That's today. So watch out for the black cats and the masked men with knives and walking under ladders and things like that. It's pretty exciting times. People are turning to Google to figure out. Actually, the fourth searched question in regards to Friday the 13th from Google is today Friday the 13th? It's like, people, you don't need to turn to Google to figure that out. Look at a freaking calendar. Glance at your phone. Like, I think that can tell you. But whatever. It happens at least once a year, Friday the 13th, and as many times as three times per year. And there's some, like, I guess kind of the early days of it are said to be because the Last Supper was attended by 13 people, Jesus Christ and his 12 disciples, you know, the crucifixion, and I think that was kind of the origin. I don't know, it's a little bit cloudy, but there's also some pretty interesting search trends around Friday the 13th in Arizona because there's a lot of tattoo parlors that are offering $13 tattoos. People turn to Google to figure out, where can I get those $13 tattoos? Not going to be me, but I respect it. $13 for a Friday the 13th tattoo is a good deal.
It's a good deal, but a questionable one. I hope it's a really good parlor. That's all I got to say. I hope it's a good parlor because I have a couple tattoos and I didn't pay $13 for any of them.
Yeah, that's true. You gotta, you kind of get what you pay for in that situation. Oh, there's also, people are also looking at all these different superstitions on Google as well, and one of the most top searched ones is itchy body superstition, and
what?
I looked this one up, so bizarre. So they're saying if your nose is itching, you may be annoyed or cursed soon. So if you ever got an itchy nose, there could be bad things happening. But I'm like, dude, my nose itches all the time, but not that much bad stuff happens to me. So I don't know. Superstition stuff is kind of fun to learn about, but you can't buy in too hard. It's too intense.
Were there anything like searches about lucky stuff? Like, should you carry a rabbit's foot with you or a horseshoe or something?
I'm not seeing a lot of stuff about luck. A lot of people searching for a variety of different superstitions, a lot of questions about certain things. So like, what does it mean when a canary flies into your window? What does it mean when your eye twitches? They're actually, the fourth trending questions about superstition specifically is what is a, or is luck superstition? So it's just luck in general, the concept. Is that a superstition? But yeah, I think people are more so just diving into the bad stuff, unfortunately.
See, I'm always looking like, how can I counter that? You know, like, how can I counter that bad luck? I want some good luck. So keep a lucky rabbit's foot.
Dream catchers.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
So for this week, what was number one?
This was the Thai youth soccer team. And if, you know, I'm sure everybody's probably listening is aware of this, unless you've been living under a rock. But the soccer team and their coach, they'd been trapped in a cave in Thailand for over 2 weeks because of the monsoon season, the rising waters. They were just trapped in this ocean cave. And so there was this three-day operation that involved 19 divers and rope and miles of caves and cocoons. It was just an extremely elaborate operation. But everybody got out safe, and awesome. It's an awesome story, and kind of the whole world was rallying behind it, which was awesome to see. But in the United States, Thailand search interest in Thailand was the highest it's also ever been. It spiked by about 600% this month. And so, yeah, search interest has never been higher in Thailand, which has been interesting to see. And that just kind of exemplifies the fact that everybody's been paying attention to this and turning to Google to figure out what the heck is going on. But man, you know, 12 days in a dark cave in water has got to be pretty bad.
I've been trying to figure this out, and I'm so glad that you're here with me, because maybe you can explain it. Why were they in the cave? I know it was because, I don't know, a tradition, they go and write their name on the wall in a cave, but did they really have to go that far in? Like, did they go all the way in there, and then they got trapped? And then at one point, they're like, the boys have to go through this small area that's about two Snicker bars wide. And I'm like, wait, they went through that before the rain, or did they snooker in somehow and they couldn't go another way? Like, how did this happen?
Man, that's a lot of good questions. I think, so my understanding is that in the initial entrance to the cave, things were not as precarious as they turned, just because there was like a massive storm that popped through with heavy seasonal rains and things like that. So on the initial attempt to get in there, everything was fine, and then they just got trapped in there. I'm not sure about like the tradition in terms of getting that far into the cave to do the writing on the walls, but it seems like, in my understanding, everything was, you know, just completely turned on its head when these seasonal rains came in and just kind of, you know, screwed everything up. So yeah, I guess I'm not the most help in terms of the real small details and nuances of the operation.
Yeah, it's funny. That's what I was just curious about, is like the small stuff, because every publication has its own version of what's happening, but it's about what's currently happening. And I'm like, well, why did they go in there? And then I found one that said, it's this new soccer team. They're going in there because it's just tradition. The new team goes in there, signs their name on it. And then the storm and the floods came, and it was a month early. So they went in there thinking, oh, the floods aren't going to happen yet. That's not for another month or two. And then, boom, it happened. So then they're like, oh, no, all this water, we got to go to higher ground. And they kept going further and further into the cave.
Yeah, caves are terrifying, especially when you're talking about, like you said, the width of two Snicker bars. I mean,
right?
Man, I'm not a claustrophobic guy, but I'm freaking out in that situation for sure. Very scary. Even watching some of the footage was like, you know, enough to make your hair stand on end. Just terrifying.
Right. It's like looking from over a ledge of a building. Like, for me, that's what it feels like. My hands get all like sweaty, and it's like, oh, I couldn't have done that. I could see why they sedated the boys, because I would have panicked. I had to be the first thing I did was panic through those little things. Like, and then I would have been stuck in there and everybody would have got hurt. It would have been really bad.
Wow. Well, glad you're in Chicago, not in Thailand.
Yeah, right. Right. So for this week, what was the most watched YouTube video?
It was the Croatia versus England World Cup semi-highlights, which was such a ridiculous game. Like, England scoring in the first 5 minutes, and then they just can't put anything together. They're knocking on the door throughout the entire game, but Croatia just comes on strong in the second half, and they qualified for their first ever World Cup. So it's pretty exciting. They're also the second smallest nation to ever qualify for a World Cup final. They've only got 4.7 million people within their country, and that's the second smallest after Uruguay, who actually won the tournament in 1950 when they only had 2.4 million people that lived in the country. So, man, it's exciting. Sunday, it's going to be a phenomenal final between France and Croatia. I'll certainly be tuned in. But, yeah, everybody was turning to YouTube to watch some of the highlights and see what was going on. But, the World Cup, man, it's something else. I am so sad it's ending, but, man, it's been the best in my memory, for sure, in terms of just, like, there's so many goals in stoppage time, and so many games have been going to overtime. It's been awesome.
Well, not just that. It's all the upsets, too. Everybody who thought, like, Argentina was going to go all the way, they didn't even make it. Brazil was going to go all the way, they didn't make it. Even England. I think England was supposed to win this. People thought they were going to get it. And, you know, big upset. Croatia won it. So it really seems like this World Cup, it's anybody's game.
I know, totally. When you think about all the big names coming into this, Ronaldo, Messi, Neymar, yep. None of these guys were in the semis, let alone the quarterfinals. So mm-hmm. It's just like, man, so many upsets. And it really speaks to just the full team nature of the sport. And you can't have, like, you know, here in the United States, like, LeBron James can bring a nobody team in the Cleveland Cavaliers to the NBA Finals. But in soccer, you got to have more of a team dynamic. You can't be carried by those superstars, which I think is a really interesting thing to watch. And it just makes it so much more fun because every time those guys step onto the pitch, it's anybody's game. So,
absolutely.
Yeah, I'm certainly excited. Oh, there's also some fun stuff that was uncovered about why soccer players put their hands on their heads after they mess up a shot or they do something bad. There was some sort of professor of psychology at the University of British Columbia who kind of dissected that. And I guess it's some sort of like a primitive gesture that is supposed to say, like, I get it, I'm sorry, I messed up, please don't kill me. And it is like a very kind of primitive form of just showing an apologetic type of a gesture. And so that's just kind of like some sort of reaction that has been kind of developed through evolution throughout the millions of years. So it's pretty interesting.
Speaking of reactions, I couldn't help but think of all the dives the soccer players do. You know what I'm talking about. Like sometimes when I know, but it's hilarious because it'd be like all of a sudden they just throw themselves on the floor and it's like, wait, what happened?
It is great, especially when they show the replay. Like in real time, you're like, wow, that guy just got rocked. And then they show the replay and they're like, dude, the guy looked at him bad and he flew across the field, which is kind of a bum. I don't know. I guess it does kind of add to the silly theatrics, which is kind of funny, but sometimes, like, dude, just get up and play the game. You're like, we know you're faking. Everybody knows. Millions of people around the world know you're faking. Come on. You're making yourself look bad.
You know, I like that you said that because you're right. Millions of people know this guy is faking. We saw the replay. Everybody knows he just threw himself on the floor and started hugging his ankle. How come the refs don't know this? Are they blind? Because I get upset about that. Like, wait. Why are they getting, like, what's happening? Who got the penalty for what? Because he threw himself on the floor? What happened?
I know, they can't reward that. And then they bring out the magic spray. That's my favorite part. They bring out whatever that stuff is and just spray it on, and all of a sudden they're good to go. Kind of reminds me of, like, in Space Jam when they drink the fake water and they think that they're all of a sudden, like, the best players in the world because they're going to beat the Monstars because they drink the fake water and it's all in their head. Kind of like the magic spray. They're like, oh, great, bring out the magic water. That's nothing. And spray it on me and I'm good to go.
It's like, oh, my ankle. It feels so much better. Thanks, coach.
Ridiculous.
Well, Justin, thank you so much for joining me. I'm glad to have you back, man.
Hey, you're welcome. Always a pleasure.
This has been the Mason Vera Payne Show. Thanks for listening. Can't wait to hear more? Head to WGNradio.com for exclusive content by Mason. Also, follow Mason on Facebook and Twitter @MasonVeraPayne. That's all one word. And don't forget to share the show with your friends.